You got your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. While you're turning, I just wanted to make mention of announcement slash prayer request, if you'll have it. Not this coming week, but next week, I've been asked to preach in revival over at Good News, Monday night through Wednesday night, so I would greatly appreciate your prayers, and if the Lord would give us the message that needs to be preached, and that we get to see a mighty move of God at Good News. So I appreciate your prayers concerning that, if you would. This morning in Luke chapter 10, there's a broad range of topics, but I want to focus on the last part of the chapter. How many of you have said this morning, well, when things slow down, I'll get to it? Anybody? We've all said that, I'm sure. Or if you're sort of like me, you say, well, I know this is important, but I've got a little more pressing things to do right now. I say that every time Hannah asks me to go to the gym. I know it's important, but I've got more pressing things to do. And to be honest, I got convicted on that this morning while I was preparing for the message. But anyway, it's almost become a status symbol in our society to be extremely busy. If you're not busy, then you must be lazy. Or so it seems. And that's how society, I think, would have it to be that way. In Sunday school this morning, we studied on about marriage and singleness and how Paul shared what was good in his eyes and then also in his eyes what he felt was better. Well, this morning I want us to look at two women. Both are busy. Both are believers. Both are doing a good work. But one had chosen the better part. They both are doing a good thing, but one had chosen the better part. And Jesus says this. So in Luke chapter 10, I want to begin reading down at verse number 38. The Bible says in Luke 10 verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You know, Mary and Martha, they both were doing right, and but one was doing the best or the better. And Jesus even went so far to say, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was troubled, as the Bible says in verse 40, that Martha was cumbered about or burdened or troubled about much serving. And she came to Jesus, and there was a lot of things that was on Martha's mind and was on her heart, but she was not focused on the main thing. And as I shared a little bit Wednesday night, that has been sort of my case here lately, that we've been focused on a lot of other things, but not focused so much on the main thing. But Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Now, have you ever stopped and thought about all that that encompassed in Martha's life at that point in time? And the custom was back then that if you had company come over, Brother Ray, you had to, either you had to do it or you had to get somebody to do it. Somebody was going to do some foot washing. That was just the custom. When you came to the house, as they came in, you gave them oil for their feet and oil for their hair or for their head, and then somebody washed their feet. It was usually, of course, delegated to the lowest of the slaves. And that's sort of why we get the story where when Jesus went around washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, how that Peter rebuked him and said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday. But not only was that had to be done, Martha had to get had to have somebody delegated to do it, or she had to do it, had to wash the feet, had to get the food ready, because it wasn't just Jesus. It was Jesus and all the disciples that were with him came to the house. So there was, we could easily say there was at least a dozen, but probably around a dozen to 15 or so people that came over to the house to eat. Now, Miss Diana, I love your apple dumplings, but if you were to have 10 or 12 people show up to eat, would you be excited to be a little burden? Be a little burden. I think we all would. We need to go to the store and buy a bunch of pizzas or something so we can feed everybody. But see, Martha didn't have a Little Caesars down the road or a Papa John's or any of that. She had to come up with some food. She had to get all of this ready, the food prepared, the foot washed, and then to say the least, how many of you want to have guests over in your house being a shambles? I think all of us want the house to look just so, especially if it was Jesus coming over to visit. I would venture to say there's not a person in here that wouldn't go home and clean something if you knew Jesus was coming over to meet and have supper with you or dinner with you. We'd want it to be just so, and I know there's been songs and poems about Jesus saying he's coming over to visit and all that goes with that. That's not what I'm going to focus on this morning. But Martha had been so enamored in all this and so busy that she even went and in verse number 40 and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? In other words, Martha's saying, Lord, don't you care? I'm doing all the work. And that's pretty much what she's saying. And her sister is sitting right there. Theologians, many believe that Martha was a widow, had her husband had passed, and Mary and Lazarus lived with her. And that's just historically how they believe that lays out. But she's saying, Lord, don't you care that I'm having to do all the work around here? And you're just letting Mary, my younger sister, sit at your feet and just sit there. Why don't you make her get up and help me do some work? But then in our society, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems a little easier to be a Mary than a Martha. I mean, a Martha than a Mary. We'd much rather be about doing things than sitting at the Master's feet. And don't get me wrong, hear the whole message before you say, well, I've just been excused from doing anything else. I can just go sit at the Lord's feet and do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. And I want you to see this in the context. I want to give you a few examples of being still before the Lord. This is exactly what Mary was doing. Martha, yes, she was about doing a good work. She was serving the Lord and the disciples that were there. But Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening. And there are times when we need to do that. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. This is a time when we need to fight a battle. We need to let the Lord do it, and we need to sit still. There are times when we need to learn patience. Psalms 37, verse 7, the Bible says, to be still before the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. We need to acknowledge God. Psalms 46, verse 10, the Bible says, to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And lastly, when we face the storms of life, Mark chapter 4, verse 39, the Bible says that Jesus got up, He rebuked the wind, and He told it to be still. And it was. Immediately, it was still. Now, I know there's times in our life when we want so desperately for the Lord to calm the storms, and sometimes He doesn't necessarily calm the storms, but He sees us through the storms. But here at this time, when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples, He did calm the storm. But other times, there are times when He didn't. But here, there are times in our lives when we need to be still and recognize who God is. When we're facing storms, when we're facing a battle, when we need patience, when we need to acknowledge God, we need to just sit down and be still. Now, how many of you have seen little children? We've got some relatives, and you've seen them, I'm sure, that, boy, they just can't sit still. I mean, look at Owen over there. He can't sit still. He's always doing something. I'm picking on you, Owen. But we've seen him, and I know Sean in the classroom and other teachers, you've had students that just can't sit still. I mean, they got to be doing something. I mean, the hands are twitching, the eyes are twitching, something's moving. But I want to remind you today that there are times when you've got to be still before the Lord and just listen. And that's what Mary was trying to do. Scott Sharps put it this way. He said, Mary discover that we cannot be so busy for Jesus that we neglect to be with Jesus. Hear that again. We cannot be so busy for Jesus that we neglect to be with Jesus. You see, Martha was so busy getting things right, just right for Jesus. I mean, I've already examined this, but she had to get the flowers just so, the furniture just so. She wanted it just right for Jesus. But she was doing all this that she nearly missed the visit of Christ to her house. She nearly missed it. And Mary had the nature. If you study Scripture and you see, read Mary just a little bit more. You read in John how that after raising Lazarus from the dead, even then in John chapter 11, how that Mary knelt at the feet of Jesus and said, "Lord, if you'd only been here, he'd still been alive." But then later on in John chapter 12, you see how that Jesus is gathered around the table. He's eating there and Lazarus is there with him. And my, that must have been an amazing conversation after being raised from the dead. But you also see, where's Mary? She's knelt there with Christ. And she later anoints Christ when she breaks that alabaster box. But you'll also notice, if you read that text in John chapter 12, we read how that the story about Jesus, how Mary anoints him. He's there. Lazarus is there. Talking with all the people. And as I studied this morning, I realized, you know, we very seldom see Martha was there too. It says, "And Martha served." But we tend to focus more on what Mary did. Mary worshiped. And I'm not negating either one. They're both important, but there's a time for both. Martha served, Mary worshiped. And I would venture to say that Martha probably worshiped in her serving. But let me go back to our text here this morning. There is a time to still be still and to worship and to know that I am God. And don't get this wrong. There is a time for action and being still, because look in Luke chapter 10, what Jesus had just shared as a story, the story of the Good Samaritan. Where the Good Samaritan where the one had gotten hurt, a certain man, as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among the thieves, they stripped him. You know how that all transpired? Now, how do you think you'd been, Brother Clinton, if the Samaritan had come up to him and said, "Let me just pray for you and I hope you get feeling better." Yeah. And went on his way. You see, that was not a time to just sit down and be still and pray for him. That was a time where action was needed. That was a time where something needed to be done, because if it didn't, he was going to die. He had been beaten, he had been stripped, and the Bible says that he took care of him, he gave him the medicine and the ointment, and then took him to a hotel, for lack of better words, and said, "Take care of him. If I come back later and it costs more than I leave you, then I'll take care of him." Because, see, there was an action. But here we come to Mary and Martha, and this is the time for worship. This is the time for being still, not necessarily for action. Yes, Martha was busy about action. She was cumbered, she was worried, but she was missing the visit. She was missing the time with the Lord. And I want to tell you, as I get older, I cherish those times of when the Lord really visits. When the Lord really just comes down, be it driving down the road in the car, be it in a worship service, be it at home in my study, wherever it is, I cherish those times when Jesus shows up. And we get to just be still with Him. That's where Mary was. She cherished the time when she could just be still with the Lord. And this is exactly what she was doing. So there is a time for action, there's a time for being still. As Jesus told her, said, "Martha, Martha." And can't you just see Jesus saying that? Be like, "Ray, Ray, I've been trying to tell you this." But he's saying, "Martha, Martha." And he says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Not two, three, but one thing is needful. "And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her." Now, I want to read to you a portion in Psalms chapter 27. In Psalms chapter 27, the Bible says, verse number 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Can't you think of Mary sensing that when she's seated at the feet of Jesus? She's like, "What do I have to fear? I'm with the Creator of all creation. I'm seated at His feet. I don't have to worry about tomorrow or today or the next day. I'm seated at Jesus' feet. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation." And then David goes on and says, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, they come upon me to eat up my flesh, and they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." How many of you have been driving down the road and somebody in the car says,
wow, that's gorgeous.
But yet you're on a curvy road and you know that if you look, you're going off the road. So you miss the whole thing. Martha was missing the whole thing. Mary was catching it. And here David, as he said, the one thing I've desired is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then he goes on and says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Mary got this. Martha missed it, at least up until this point. I read the story this morning of he was a pastor, but he worked somewhere else and had a job. And they were working on a very big project. We've all had those in our lives. We're working on a big project. And it was, they'd been working about a week or so about it. But the boss come in and said, you know, we need to have a meeting and schedule for such and such time. The day come for that meeting, and this guy that was writing an article, he said that he just got so busy that when it came time for the meeting, it just slipped his mind. And then he remembered the meeting. So, oh, well, I've done missed part of it, but I'm doing such good work. I'll just keep working on this, and then I'll go catch up with him later. Well, after he did this, a few hours come by, and then the boss come by. And he looked at all that he had done and said, that's pretty good work. You've done a lot of hard work. But we had the meeting this morning to tell you that we're ceasing this project and we're shipping it over to another office. If he had been there for the meeting, he wouldn't have had to have done all that other work. Be a good work. But he wouldn't have had to have done all that other work because the boss would have been there to tell him, you don't need to do that. This is what I'm trying to get to. Being still and listening. Listening for the boss. And of course, to us, that would be Christ. Listening to what Christ has to tell us and not missing what the boss really wants us to do. What Christ is really calling us to do. It is very important for us to work for Christ. And I'm not negating that in any way. Scripture tells us that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. I was talking with Brother Homer this morning. We're praying for the Lord to send us some laborers here in our congregation. And we need that. Every church needs that. And it is important to labor for the Lord, but it is imperative to listen to the Lord. Yes, we must labor. But even more so, we must listen to the Lord. Be you young, be you old, whatever the case might be. And as Brother Clinton and Miss Free and the musicians come this morning, I have a question to ask you. Which part will you choose? The better or the best? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never chosen at all. I want to tell you, and I'm not trying to use a cliche, but Christ is the best you'll ever pick. You can't pick any better than Christ. And from what he's meant to me over my life, and I'm sure there's plenty here this morning that could testify, Jesus is my all in all. At Trace Dias, I know I've shared a little bit about that, but at the end of Trace Dias, on that Sunday evening, they encourage everybody to say what Christ meant to you before the weekend and what he means to you after the weekend. And there's a lot of people that when they go through that, when they stand up there, and they've literally only got about 2 minutes to say something, a lot of them will say, Jesus is my all in all. And I hope you can say that this morning. But if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, he's not your all in all. And you desperately need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. To choose the best part, the better part, and that would be Christ. I close with this. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary on this portion of Scripture, he put it this way. He said, my frustrated, confused friend, are you at the corner of life where you do not know which way to turn? Then for goodness sake, sit down. Sit at Jesus' feet for just a little while. And can't you just imagine Jesus when you sit at his feet? He says, welcome. It's good to see you, my friend. It's been a while. If you have a need, the altar's open. Brother Clinton, what's your number?
Brown Book 62.
This is all standard.